Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Now you want to get nuts? Come on.
God damn. Cool.
Welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world of heavy metal, rock and roll. My name is Eagle, and I am joined by the illustrious, the beautiful, the gorgeous, the very deep, very sensitive, very sweet, very strong, Rubber City Redbeard. What's up, Grant?
It's like you know me.
I do. I know you sort of well.
It's like you know me.
Sort of well.
The podcast is like so popular that people, like while you're introducing yourself, when you're about to say your name, if they say your name with you.
Yes.
Right? If you're like, I'm, and then everybody else goes, Eagle.
I rehearsed that so much back in the day. I would rehearse it to myself to where I would, when I would introduce myself to people in general, I would just go, my name's Eagle.
You've been doing that since the eighth grade.
Yeah. My name's Eagle. And they're like, what?
Go to the office.
Yeah.
Stop talking funny.
Welcome back to another episode of the show. We are based here in the lovely Akron, AK Rowdy Rowdy, Akron, Ohio, in a secret location, my car behind my work.
Currently on the west side.
West side. How you feeling today, man? You're looking good. You're looking sharp. You're looking sexy.
I'm honestly not feeling so well.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know that if it's because I haven't eaten today.
Oh.
Or what. I just feel kind of sluggish.
Okay.
I just feel sluggish.
You haven't eaten anything today? Nothing. Not even a smoothie?
I stopped at Sheetz and I got a water. And they sell the little fresh mozzarella cheese.
Yes,
it's like the pearls.
Oh yeah, the Borbo those.
Yes,
things. So good.
Yeah.
They sell them for like 99 cents at those places.
Yeah.
You got to go to Aldi and buy them like in they're buying them in like a little mesh bag. For like $3.99 and get like seven of them. Or
yeah,
something.
I used to just get like the balls of them.
Yeah.
Right, but like I'm only one dude, so I'm not gonna eat the mozzarella fast enough before it starts to like really dry out. Like. You want to get a ball of mozzarella, like 8 ounces, then, you know, you're splitting that with somebody. Like, I'll eat half of that, and it'll sit in the fridge for a few days, and then when you go back to eat it, it's just not the same, you know? So if I want to snack on some mozzarella, I just get one of them little things.
Right.
Because it's only got three little pearls in there. Just pop that in my mouth, 100 calories, boom.
So a lot has gone on since we've last done a podcast.
Marilyn Manson caught another charge.
No! Yeah, that keeps...
Accusation.
Accusations. I don't know.
It's an assistant. A former assistant.
She's suing him, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I saw. She was like, yo, he like tried to... He pimped her out to like other people.
Hold on.
I'm starting to really think he's a rascal, bro. I think that guy's a bit of a goober.
Wait, hold on for one second. So it wasn't just sexual assault or sexual harassment by him to her. He pimped her out to other people.
Yeah, he was
look,
like,
man,
out,
if
man.
You're hoeing, you're partly responsible. Okay.
Yes.
Look,
let's blame the victims.
Saying.
That'll make everybody happy.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's a goof. He's a goofball. That guy. Oh, that son of a gun. Since the last show, the mask mandate it literally dropped while we were recording the last podcast, right?
Yeah.
And so now
they were lifting it.
And how cool is this that we got to be the first people that I know of that announced a show coming? That we announced it the day after. Jason Luchka made this amazing flyer, August 13th, Wall Creeper, Goose, Super Corruptor, Pizza Party, Matinee. We'll be talking about it for the next few months. We're thrown by your boys. Thrown by us. Pizzas.
What do you expect from fat dudes?
Yeah. Not getting pizza. Show up at 9 o'clock. We're going to have two sheet pizzas. And listen. If the pizza runs out with the quickness for some reason, I will order 6 more large pizzas from fucking Papa John's. I don't give a shit. But I'm going to be making some sheet pizzas 9 o'clock, between 9 and 10. Get your eat on. Get a couple drinks in you. The last time that we did the pizza party and stuff, nobody threw up. You know what I'm saying? Because they got that pizza in to soak it up and shit. It was a perfect... We figured it out. We figured out the recipe for a good time. But anyway, the mask mandate drops. We fucking the next day get to announce the first show, which is so coincidental because the last show before the pandemic happened, like right when the we were like, hey, we're in a pandemic, a global pandemic, was our pizza party with that was Radian and Goost and Super Corrupt, or not Super Corrupt, or Aggressor was going to play.
That was late December 2019, and then right at the beginning of 2020 is when everything happened.
Yeah, and March 13th was the show that we threw with Goost that was the Metal at the Mat that... it was just weird because we were all like, are we allowed to be here? Because the pandemic just kicked off and then there was no more shows.
Oh, that was the last show was that night. Yeah, yes. So that's fucking right. Yeah, so that was like the last night everybody was normal.
Yeah, and then the first show that gets announced right after the mask mandate drops is Goost playing Metal at the Mat, yeah, pizza party. Fucking dope. That's so fucking cool. You know what? I'm going to right now, let's play a Goost song.
I'm with it.
Goost is playing the next one. They're one of my favorite bands of all time. I love those dudes. Hey, congrats to Jason Wayne. Just had some twinsies.
Dude, little twinsies. Little twinsies. I didn't even know she was pregnant with twins. That's the best way to do it. Like, if you're going to have multiple kids, knock it out in one shot.
Good job, buddy. Here's some Goost, and we'll get back, and we'll talk about some more shows coming up, like Ringworm.
Hold on.
want to do it? You want to do it? We're back. You do a good radio. Yeah, we're back.
You ever do that?
Yeah.
And we're back!
Yeah!
Bam!
We're back. Zippity zippity zow! Zing a zow! Welcome to the afternoon zoo. Bow.
So, that was Goosed. Man, so Annabelle's just announced a fucking killer show, too, June 4th, that I'm going to. And so many reasons that I'm excited about it. But Legends of the Game, since 1989, one of the first local bands I've ever seen in my life was Ringworm. Ringworm, fucking national touring Roadrunner. Are they on Roadrunner or Relapse Records? Or I don't know. Is it Victory Records?
I can't remember what they
were. Is it Napalm Records? Is it Metal Blade? I think it's Relapse. I think they're signed to Relapse. But Ringworm is coming with Punching Moses. And they're playing with our friends Feds and Wall Creeper, who is going to be playing Metal at the Mat. And you're going to Ringworm, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Are you checking out what?
I'm buying my ticket.
You checking out what?
They were on Victory and they were on Relapse.
All right.
I think they are currently on Relapse.
I think they're on Relapse too.
Yeah, currently on Relapse. Used to be on Victory.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. I mean, Ringworm coming to a place like that, dude. That's so fucking cool. Like, that's got to be their roots, right? Like a place like Annabelle's.
Oh, 100%. Like, yeah, I mean, all those dudes grew up fucking, you know, going to shows in fucking bars and shit, you know? Mm-hmm. Not like we all haven't fucking gone to the national shows, but, you know, those dudes grew up in it, so, yeah.
And I'm so stoked to be able to see Feds again. I'm trying to make a show happen in October.
I don't know what you might do.
Oh, I might.
So do you want to talk about what you might do, or you want to wait until you do it?
Yeah, we're going to wait until I do it. Let's go back into the Ringworm show. So yeah, so Feds is going to be playing God damn it. Cut.
Take 24.
Snaps. So yeah, man, Feds.
We're getting laughed at from the car next to us.
we love you. So Feds, Wall Creeper, Punching Moses, and the other guy's Ringworm from Relapse Records, formerly
Victory.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with Punching Moses. I've heard of them. I'm just not familiar with them.
That's a great name, though. Yeah, I mean, fuck, already a fan. I'll buy your shirt.
Feds is ridiculous. Like, if you haven't got to see those guys live yet, they're one of those bands that's completely different seeing it live than hearing it. You know what I mean? Like, you can hear it all you want, but, dude, that's a violent band.
Yeah.
It is mean. It is just very mean music.
Man. And, like, they're catchy for mean music. You know what I mean? Like, there's a little bit of a swing in Brandon's drumming and shit. And, yeah, man. I mean, they're a catchy, very listenable, approachable band. But, like, it is. It's so hard. It is so in your face. And then, like, the lyrics, too, are just very much, like, you know, perfect hardcore lyrics. Just like, I'll fucking fight you!
Don't stop the fight!
For this reason, and then usually Frank McGee's got a reason. He's usually got a reason to fight you.
Every time.
In his lyrics.
He's got a reason.
That show is going to be off the chain. That was a band that was picked by Daily Fatbag Davis, who is, he's been around. He's the Mushroom Head merch dude and Halfway Vegans or something. He's in Halfway Vegans.
I got the disc. Half Raised Heathens.
All right.
Half-raised heathens.
So Daily Davis, Daily Davis from the band Halfway Vegans.
Bit of a popular guy.
Half-raised heathens. He picked that band, and those shows usually would tend to be about 10 minutes long, including a song, right? Because the way I would do the localize, it's all 24 still on our feed. Go listen to it now. All 24 in a row. It would be me talking to on the phone. Holding a microphone up to the phone because I'm a professional. And just talking to dudes about a local band that they like, that influenced them, or a band that they think that are listening, you know, the world should know. He picked Ringworm.
Good band to pick, man.
The episode with Daily Davis was super fun for me because I've known of Daily Davis. I don't think that dude could pick me out in a crowd. Okay? Like today. I think if he saw me, I'd have to be like, "I'm that dude that talked to you."
I hope, like at the Fed show,
he
picks you out of the crowd.
I hope he big leagues me. I hope I go up to him and he just like does a nod and then walks away.
What's up, dude?
Because he used to do that all the time. And so
he won't even use your name.
Yeah, because I'd be like, "Hey, what's up, man?" He'd be like, "I don't fucking know you."
What's up, pal?
Hey, chief. Hey, big guy.
Hey, boss.
Hey, boss. Halfway chieftains. Half-raised vegans.
He fucked up for not picking that name.
Well, maybe that could be his new project, right? He could do it. Listen, Daily, I'm going to put him in. I'm going to tag him in this. I'm going to let him know we're talking about him. Because I'm excited to actually physically meet my brother from another mother.
Yeah, get to hang out with
him. We talked for like an hour. That show that I did with him is the longest one by far. It was like you take all the episodes together and you put it in there. But I was so to the moon to talk to him and stuff because like he was just part of that crowd and stuff. And like, you know, little shout out to my man JC and stuff. Like he was another one that when I talked to since we didn't really kick it back in the day of like, you know, back in my peak when I peaked mm-hmm. when I was 20.
Sucked knowing he peaked that early.
I'm just going to take it in for a second.
Let's breathe it out. Let it go.
They were way cooler than me. They were the Cleveland guys. I've talked about it a million times on this show. They were the Cleveland dudes. I was the Barberton kid. I was the kid from outside of Akron. I wasn't even an Akron kid. So I only knew of Cleveland metal for a few years. Explain it all in the episode with Daily Davis. And I did. I like when I got off that episode, I went home. I remember recording that. I legitimately recorded it in the parking lot of where my wife works, the office building where my wife works, because I just needed a place to be alone. And we were on like a schedule, right? Like I was like, I have to be there at this date, but I couldn't do it at my house because like my kids had friends over and shit.
Right.
So I ended up just going in this parking lot, sitting by myself, talking on the phone with Daily Davis, get off the phone, go home, walk into the door. And Jessica was like, how was the podcast? And I go, I think I made a friend. And I was like,
she said, aw.
I was like, I would talk to this dude all the time. I would talk to this guy all the time. Absolute pleasantry. And he's going to be a ringworm. And I'm going to physically meet him. And I feel like a couple things are going to happen. You know that scene in Wayne's World where he sees Tia Carrera and then Dreamweaver plays?
Yeah. You're going to go through that whole dream sequence?
Yeah, but I think it's going to be like a Schnauzer song, like Beat the Dealer is going to play. You know, be like, hey, fuckface, remember me? Can I just play some Schnauzer now? What the fuck? I mean, it's our show.
If you play Beat the Dealer.
Yeah. All right, Beat the Dealer, featuring one of my favorite singers of all time, Jason Popson, along with Jim Cagney. Yeah,
legend.
Fuck it. Fucking legend. Both legends. Love you guys. Here's a Schnauzer. Fuck it. It's a radio show now.
Ah! Ah! Oh! Hey! Don't fucking ever!
That was Beat the Dealer by Schnauzer. R.I.P. to my man Jim Kanya, one of the nicest guys we've ever known, ever, of all time. And now I get to meet Daily Davis. And I have a feeling that we're going to spend a lot of time maybe in the parking lot just shooting the shit.
You're not going to be talking inside.
No, you're not going to be talking inside. It's going to be a clusterfuck of just loud punk rock shit. You know what I mean?
Do they have a certain number of tickets for that show? Are they cutting it off?
Yeah, yeah. They got to be. Like, there's got to be some sort of capacity because, I mean, if they're doing pre-sales now, I mean, bro, I can't believe it's not sold out already.
Yeah, me neither.
Go.
But I do believe they're playing a Cleveland gig
the next night.
Same weekend. Yeah,
the very
next
night.
So, like, none of the Cleveland folks are going to come down for that. You know what I mean? But everybody from Akron's not going to Cleveland either. Like, they did that for a reason, you know, so.
And they got, I mean, honestly, like, Wallcreeper and Feds are, like, those are some Akron fucking gods right now. Like, they're some of the best fucking bands.
I feel like you said gods with a W.
I did. Ugh. What do you mean? What do you mean?
How would you spell gods?
I mean, I wouldn't say it that way. I would just say gods. G-O-D's.
There's no such a thing as that.
You know?
There's no such a thing as that. But there's gods.
There could be a bunch of them. Doesn't have to be one. Greek mythology, sir.
Mythology. It's not real.
Well.
Gods.
Dinosaurs aren't real to some people either. Sorry, Timmy.
I don't know why.
Whoa.
I know. I just threw your kid into a whole fucking...
You just fucked his... He's going to cry. He's going to lose his fucking mind.
He'll look right at you and be like, fuck is wrong with Redbeard?
Timmy gets so upset that, like, he holds his anger and, like, he's about to turn into the Incredible Hulk. Like, he's like... I'm like, what's up? And he'll be like, you know, I don't like mashed potatoes. I'm like, shit.
My bad, dude.
Sorry, buddy. Okay.
Fucking spiders.
But yeah, I mean, they definitely have to have some kind of capacity because, dude, that place is going to be just packed.
So many shows have been announced, too, like, with the quickness. I know Ministry is coming to town with fucking Helmet. You remember Helmet?
Of course. I've seen Helmet at the Jar right here in Akron.
I smoked weed with guitar. He's not in Helmet anymore, but he was a guitar player in Helmet back when he joined Biohazard for like a tour. Mm-hmm. And I smoked weed with him at a hotel, and he was high, terrified. It begged me and my dude not to tell people because he hung out with like a bunch of straight edge guys, and like if the guys in Helmet found out. He was like making this whole thing. He's like, he goes, I'm in another band called Helmet. And I go, you don't have to tell me like called Helmet. You could be like, I'm in Helmet. Like, right. I'm hip enough to know.
You guys have been around long enough.
What Helmet is. It was 99, man, when that it was 98, 99 when that fucking went down. Not to brag, but I smoked weed with a guy in Biohazard back in the day. Those dudes were weird. You know, the more I look back at my Biohazard experience, those guys were super duper weird. Like Evan Seinfeld, who's now a fucking, who I named my kid after. Mm-hmm. I got to stop fucking naming my kids after fucking people because
it was a weird night when you met him, kind of.
It was a weird night.
And you still chose years and years later.
That was the thing. It's like back then I was like, that's normal. And then when I look back on it now, I go,
oh, that's not normal at all.
I don't think I should. I'm pretty sure that dude might be a pedophile.
That's what I wanted to be normal at the time because I thought it was cool as a 17-year-old kid hanging out with a band.
Yeah, when you're 17 and the band's like feeding you booze on the back of their bus and they're like, you like this underage girl?
You're like, so, your 16-year-old friend looks fucking hot. Here, drink this.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were like, this is the best!
Best times ever, bro!
I'm gonna name my first board after this night! And then I did. And now he's what he is. So that's my fault. Sorry to my son. Who I named Evan Seinfeld Eagle. Oh, shows are coming, right? No, so Helmet. Ministry, Gojira's coming in October. Clutch is coming in December. Fucking stand-up shows. Go up to the casino. Go see Tom Segura, one of my favorite stand-up comics. But shows are coming left and right. Like
Clutch is playing up here in Cleveland the 29th, and then they're playing New Year's Eve in Cincinnati. So it's like, do I drive the 4 hours and spend another New Year's Eve with them?
Oh, dude, no.
You know?
No, come on, man.
Went to Philly for it.
Hmm. How are you feeling about going to shows? Like, are you ready to go? Are you ready to pounce on it? I know you're going to Ringworm. I'm going to see you at Ringworm, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to kick it. We're going to be boys and shit.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Gojira later this year.
Yeah, okay.
Going to that one.
Yeah, I'm going to Gojira too, man.
Nah, I'm not hitting any of the fests just because they're fucking expensive as balls.
Right.
He's
a millionaire without a cent to spend. Just this $1 million bill and not a penny more. And if he wins, man, even a single cent. What are some bands that, if they come through, because like everybody's about to be touring and stuff, is there any bands that you're just dying to see that is a must go? If they come anywhere within like the 50-mile radius, you're like, I have to fucking go to it.
Ginger.
Ginger, huh?
Spirit Box.
Okay. I don't know what Spirit Box is. Am I out of the loop?
Spirit Box is, we're going to play you some Spirit Box right now.
Okay, I'll do a little sample.
A little Spirit Box for you.
Okay.
And we're back again, because
I put it in post.
Spirit Box is Courtney LaPlante from I Wrestled a Bear Once.
Oh, one word. Great band. I love that band back in the day, man. I love that group.
She was the singer that took over for Krista after Krista left the band.
Yeah.
And she's fucking amazing. Like, that woman destroys, dude. Like, she's really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
And the guitar player from I Wrestled a Bear Once, who's her husband, that's Spirit Box.
Okay.
Two fourths of Spirit Box. One half of Spirit Box.
Yeah.
Is those two. Spirit Box is a great band.
I talked about going to WrestleMania with the drummer from I Wrestled a Bear like 10 years ago.
He's cool.
We almost, like, it was almost like a possible thing. We were almost going to get tickets together.
You should have did that.
Through Twitter somehow. I don't even remember the full situation, but like.
He's a full on fucking like video game nerd.
He was super nice. He was super nice, man, in the Twitterverse and shit back then. And like, you know, I was like, if I bought an extra ticket, and he was like, dude. He's like, let's go in on it. And I was like, ugh. All right, so those bands you would definitely go see?
Mm-hmm. Those are like top of the list.
Both
right
lady-fronted bands.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Twin Temple?
No.
Twin Temple is a satanic doo-wop group. They're a couple. It's a guitar player dude. And
they seriously do doo-wop?
I'm already in. Dude, I'm just going to just give you just a snip.
I'm already in.
Giving you a snip.
I grew up with a dad who listened to Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, and doo-wop. You know?
Twin Temple is satanic doo-wop that my dude Ron, that you'll meet him. He's going to be at the Ringworm show. He works with me and stuff. He saw them open up for Amigo the Devil, who's, you know, like a folksy kind of like he's a good singer and shit. And but yeah, they do like a whole thing where they have like a chalice and they put upside down crosses of blood on your forehead. Everybody in the crowd gets indoctrinated.
You get blessed, and
this woman is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
So it makes you feel better about accepting Satan into your heart?
A little bit. I mean, I've always accepted Satan into my heart. I fucks with the devil hard, bro.
I've been hailing Satan my whole life.
Dude, all day, hail Satan. Twin Temple's one of those bands, through the pandemic, I've listened to so much. And, like, they've put on show, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. This is them without the van. This is them in their like hotel or apartment.
Can we roll these down?
What's it?
Can we roll these down?
So when they have the full band, it's like spectacular.
Oh, it's gotta be way better.
It's spectacular. I don't know why.
She's good.
She's real good.
She's got a good voice for
it. They're one of those bands throughout the pandemic where I'm just like, I absolutely must go fucking see them. Another one's Gogol Bordello.
Oh yeah, if they come
I was gonna go to Gogol Bordello
back like, in. Last year,
pre-pandemic, man.
Yeah, it was right before that. It was 19. Later in the was it October-ish? It was up at the Agora. I was going to go, and I didn't go.
Yeah. Gogo Bordello is one of those bands I've never seen live. Mm-mm. And I've always, like, I first heard of them, they were on the Henry Rollins show, and, like, I saw them do their gypsy punk shit, and I was like, yeah, I'm fucking, like, whatever this is I want to be a part of it so bad. He sounds like Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, too.
First time I have read the Bible, it had struck me as unwitty. I think it may start a rumor that the Lord ain't got no humor. Put me.
Like, I don't know what to do with my dad's accordion, right? Like, yeah. Ever since he died and I have this thing sitting at my house, I can't play the accordion. I'm never going to learn how to play the accordion.
Right.
And I was like, if I could give it to the dude from Gogo Bordello, I would just give it to that dude.
Dude, Gogo, all day.
If he would fucking play that shit on stage, dude, I would totally give it to that dude.
Ginger's a unique one for me because, like, I really enjoy it. Like, I enjoy Ginger. I like that style. Like, I have nothing bad to say about Ginger. Like,
the band's phenomenal. Everything's, dude, the bass player is fucking ridiculous. The drummer's fucking ridiculous. The guitar player is great. Her vocals are fucking insane. So, yeah, where are they going wrong?
They're one of those bands, too. They're one of those bands, too, that when, that I always enjoy in metal where you play it for somebody and you go, you hear that? That's a chick. Like, there's like a weird, like I love seeing the reactions to that. I don't know why. Does that make me a bad person? Am I a sexist?
No.
What is wrong with me? I don't know, but I love bands. Like, I Wrestled a Bear once was just like that.
But that's what I did to Bobby Clark. It was with when Krista sang for I Wrestled a Bear once and I first heard them, because the only other, like, real metal, like, female metal vocalist was
Arch Enemy chick.
No, she's good too, though. The other chick that everybody O-tap. Hates, O-tap. Yeah,
yeah,
Shamaya.
Fuck that bitch.
Nobody likes that lady.
Fuck that bitch. Yeah. Dude. She's a dickhead.
So, like, that was like the real, like, example, right?
Yeah.
And then I heard I Wrestled a Bear once, dude, and it was just another level of disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, like, O-Tap's really good and it's powerful and it's
right.
But Krista's fucking voice was like just sick. And I played that shit for Bobby and I was like, Hear that? That's a girl.
That's, what do you think about that?
And she can sing clean. You can't.
Oh, ouch. Did you let him know?
I hurt his feelings.
Oh, damn. That would hurt his feelings.
It was years ago. He could sing. Bobby could sing just fine.
He can probably.
He can sing fine.
Yeah, no, he's really good.
No, he's not really good. He can sing just fine.
Then just the look on your face right
fine.
Now. Just what if the new Fully Consumed shit's all clean tone? What if it's all clean tone,
he was
Bobby?
Doing it in Caligo and I hated it.
Oh, do you think that was do you think the rest of the band forced him to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they were like, hey, man, you gotta like go?
My whole thing was like, it's not, it's like, Bob, it's not that you can't do it, it's that you can't do it as well as dudes like fucking
right. Look, just because you dribble doesn't mean you should be the point guard. You're 7 foot tall. You're the center. Be a center. Bobby Clark is a center. You know what I mean? Like, growl. Do the things.
You know, there's like bands that don't need to sing clean to get their point across and shit.
You mean like Lamb of God?
Like Cannibal Corpse? Like,
Lamb of God started doing it, and it's terrible. It's so bad.
It was bad.
It's bad. Yeah. And it's like, who told you that you... And I get it. I get that artists, like, they want to break out of their shell, and they want to prove to themselves that they can do something, but sometimes that thing sucks. And you just got to just stick with what you're good at, Randy Blythe.
You can do it. You can do it all you want. It doesn't mean you have to, like, produce it.
Yeah.
And then fucking
hear it.
Distribute it.
Right. Do it in the comfort of your own home. You have money, guys.
You guys know at least 1,000 people that you can go, hey, listen to this. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. At least Corey Taylor knows to do his, like, super corny shit outside of Slipknot. And then he just does this kind of corny shit with Slipknot. At least he knows. Do a side project.
It was the same thing with them, too. Like, he started, like, Stone Sour tried to do a Slipknot song. Like, they tried to do some heavy-ass fucking song, and it's like, what are you doing, dude? And then Slipknot did a bit of a lighter song with some clean vocals, and I was like, you're fucking mixing the two. Now you're melding the two, and it's stupid. Leave Stone Sour to Stone Sour. Yeah. Do Slipknot over here, because... Like, the people that like those bands don't like both bands.
The clean toning is the reason that I stopped giving a fuck about Slipknot altogether. And it wasn't even because it was like, oh, I don't like the way Corey sings. It had nothing to do with that. Their first big hit, you remember, on the first record of the Wait and Bleed song, right? Mm. So on that was the biggest song to come off that album. They did a video that was like them live at Ozfest looking, right? But, you know, they just played the song over it. And put it on MTV. And the version on MTV in the video is more clean tone than yelling. Like, he does a lot of yelling in Wait and Bleed on the record, but in the video, they took the screaming out and changed it with clean tone to get, like, a new audience or something. And I thought it was such sellout shit that they changed a song that was already produced.
I would have to hear that, because I don't think I've ever heard that. You know what I mean? And that's, like, why would you do that?
I am going to do the comparison on this show.
Other than it's on MTV, and you're trying to gain a...
Nerds, you're trying to chads. You're trying to get some chads in there. You're trying to get some 14-year-old girls.
You want some chads and Stacey?
You want that Killswitch Engage crowd from 2003?
You want the chads and Stacey's?
You want the chads and Stacey's, bro? It was some cornball shit. And so it wasn't even that. It was like, if the song itself sounded like that in the first place, I'd be like, okay, fine, you know, whatever. But the fact that they changed it to put it into like a mass market, I was like, that is the most sellout ho shit ever. That's not punk rock. And if it's not punk rock, I don't want to be a part of it.
Or metal.
Or metal.
You don't
punk lighten... rock to me is metal, like, when I say it. You are a woman of my child, and I am one of this time. Everything is dirty, blasphemy. My eyes are running cold, the air is standing straight up. This is not the way I envision me. I can't control my shakes. How the hell did I get here? Something about this so very wrong.
Lighten it up,
yeah.
To a, like, appease to a different crowd, like just.
And so when Iowa came out, I was already like, "Fuck these dudes." When their second record came out, I was already like, "No, like fucking Cannibal Corpse would never do. Morbid Angel would never do that."
It's not that their second record was bad. It just wasn't what the first one was. And that's like
the second record also had the song called People Equal Shit, which was based off of a t-shirt that they were selling from the first record. And I was like, you guys are fucking trying to just sell more shirts. Hate it. I hated it. I was like, you guys wrote a song after your named after your shirt. That's garbage, dude. Like, it was garbage. They're a gimmick. Mushroom Head Records. Am I right? Am I right? I might be right. So, yeah, all right. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that I would, like, I absolutely, like, I think of the Melvins. When the Melvins come through again, like, I need to go see them one more time. I need to go see Ween. Anybody who knows me knows that that's my
show.
I listen to
that. If Ween comes through, you're going regardless.
I wouldn't, yeah, no matter what. I would have gone through, like, during the pandemic. I'd have been like, give me COVID. I have to have COVID to go see Ween, I'll go see Ween.
Like, I'm trying to think of, like, a really big band that I would want to spend the money to go see if they came around.
Bon Jovi.
No.
Maiden?
Yeah.
I kind of want to go see Maiden. Especially after the whole Rock Hall debacle where everybody's like, I'm mad.
Like, I seen them once, but I didn't get to, like, see them. So I would like to go and just really focus on the show and get to watch the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Maiden. I dropped the money on Maiden.
Well, last time I saw Maiden, I've only seen Maiden once. I don't know what I'm saying last time. Last time, like, I seen them a million. I seen them one time, but it was the perfect show. It was the perfect show. We had great seats. Joel Haynes, my man, got me good seats. And it was these two bands called Motorhead and Dio opened up.
Oof.
Dude, rest in peace.
That would have been a hell of a show.
All them motherfuckers.
Well, I mean, you got two of the top singers in heavy metal.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, not taking away from Lemmy.
No.
But, like, Dio and Dickinson are on a whole nother level.
For sure.
You know? And Dio's got the biggest voice for the smallest dude.
He looked like my grandmother on stage. It was fucking pretty wild. Yeah. Like, he looked like my grandma.
He's
Eagle.
A very small little guy.
Ah, throwing hexes. Hexing you. I watched Tenacious D in the Pick of Destiny the other day with Timmy. And Timmy got into the Dio part.
Oh, with the meatloaf scene?
Yeah.
And he comes
with
alive
Dio,
on the poster?
Yeah, come alive on the poster. Yeah. And I go, and I'm explaining to Timmy, I go, well, this is Dio is telling Little Jack Black that, you know, go start the world's greatest band, the most awesome band. And he goes, Tenacious D. And I go, they are the most awesome band. And Timmy goes, yeah, they are. And I was like, oh, I love you. I love you, son.
That would be the other one, I guess. Tenacious D.
I saw Tenacious D with the first time they came through Cleveland ever. It was at the Agora, And somebody named Harmar Superstar opened up. Maybe Neil Hamburger was there. But Tenacious D did it without a band. And it was the most special, awesome fucking night in the world because it was just them two with their acoustics.
Yeah, that, and you got to see them on their first album.
Yeah.
Like the...
Yes.
Because that's the only album that counts. The two after it, they don't even fucking matter, dude.
I like all the albums. Mm. I'm a big Mark. I'm a sucker for this shit.
I like stuff off of the albums, but I like the soundtrack. I don't think the Rise of the Phoenix or whatever.
I thought that was a great record.
I thought it was okay,
bro.
But it didn't touch the first one.
I think that album got like legit deep and shit. They have a song like the Ballad of Hollywood Jack. Mm-hmm. Where he talks about how all the shit that Cage went through while he's watching Jack Black become a fucking megastar. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's really fucking, like, it's like some real deep shit.
Then Hollywood Jack hit the big time and went to make movies. Rage Cage was left far behind in the dust of his dreams. And he grumbled and growled and watched Hollywood Jack on Jay Leno. He bellowed and said he'd be nothing without help from Cage. He burnt up the photos of Jables and Cage doing mushrooms. Fuck him, I don't need no Hollywood Jack anyway. And Hollywood Jack lived up high on a hill in a bubble.
And the song about the roadie. The fucking tribute to the roadie. And then the song Rise of the I ended up falling in love with that record. I say re-listen to it. Maybe go through it.
Smoke weed? No.
Oh. Well, you start and then listen to that
Do
record.
Do I look like I smoke weed?
You look like you have weed on you. I was about to ask you if you got some weed.
Oh, I wish it did.
I say re-listen to it because at first I didn't like it either. I
wasn't a fan of it, man. Like, I wasn't like there was a couple songs that where I was like, all right, yeah, this is cool, but that first album is just fucking. It's like the Deftones, man. The Deftones have a bunch of good albums, but nothing's ever gonna touch Adrenaline for me. Mm-hmm. It's not gonna fucking happen. Like Korn has a bunch of good songs. They wrote a bunch of good shit. Fucking Heavy as Balls. The first album, dude, is where it's at. You know what I mean?
I thought that second album. And then
second, look, Follow the Leader.
Then Drift. Follow the Leader sucked my ass.
Follow the Leader had some good shit on it. It was very well produced.
Too well produced.
Very well produced album.
Too well.
But that was the, you know.
And when you say it had good shit on it, are you talking about the song with Fred Durst?
You're a fucking loser. Look, if you don't like that track, you don't listen to real hip hop, and you're not into battle rap at all, I don't want to hear shit out of your face.
Well, I just learned something new about myself. I don't listen to hip hop.
I listen to that fucking Fred Durst battle track with him and Jonathan Davis
every day.
No. I listened to it like a month ago because I had the disc and, I was like, because it was the first time I had heard it in years, mm-hmm. So I forgot about it, you know what I mean? So then it came on, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this. And listening to it, it was like, I feel like those dudes sat in a chair 2 feet from each other, like, passing wine and writing lyrics about each other. Wouldn't this be funny? Hey, what if I said this about you? Wouldn't this be funny? It'd be funny, right?
Wouldn't it be funny? We're breaking the fourth wall. Fuck that out.
Throwing rhymes at me like, oh shit, alright. Vanilla Ice. You better run while you can. Can never fuck me up, this blanket. At least I got a fat original band.
Who's hot, who's not? You best step back. Corn on the cob, you need a new job. Time to take the mic skills back to the dentist and buy yourself a new grill. Your pumpkin pie, I'll jack off in your eye. Climbing shoots and ladders while your ego shatters. But you just can't get away because it's doomsday, kid. It's doomsday.
That was a weird, because it was around the battle rap era of everything. 8 Mile was whatever.
Yeah.
So that was their attempt of trying to, like, fit into that little square,
right?
You know?
Well, they were all, like, played... They were, like, huge MTV acts at that time, too. Yeah. So, like, they were there right with NSYNC and Britney Spears and Eminem everything that was like, you know what I mean? Like just pop culture fucking heavy.
Dang, bro. Do you remember when Eminem totally dissed Fred Durst on MTV?
Do you remember when Eminem had the power to end people's careers? Mm-hmm. That was fucking wild. There was like a few years. Like, I mean, he did. He ended Limp Bizkit, right? He ended like boy bands altogether.
Oh, yeah. He was the end of boy bands.
Like, Eminem, like, he was legit. Like, and nowadays, like, I get it. Like, it's kind of cute now to see him, like, just doing shit because he learned. I think he spent 15 years learning how to rap fast to only realize that nobody gives a fuck about fast rap anymore. You know what I mean? Like, nobody listens to fast rap anymore being like, damn, like, we hear it all the time. I listen to, like, listen to Logic. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen to, like, rappers have perfected things. Their templates were Twista.
Tech Nine.
Tech, yeah.
Twista, exactly.
And so, like, so Eminem mastered it, and he's like, rap god, hibbity-bibbity, and everybody's like, oh, no, I just need to hear funny things. You know what I mean? Like, I just want you to be funny, dude.
I think he's still impressive that way.
He's, I mean, oh, he's a mega talent.
Yeah, just, but I think there's still, like, a, there are people that are into that style of rap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I liken just it like, to,
just like there are people who are into lyrical rap. Do you know what I mean? They listen, they listen to hip-hop for the fucking content.
Right. They listen to the J. Cole.
To where you have this entire genre of like trap house and the fucking the drill movement and shit from Chicago. Like, that's it's I don't want to call it garbage because it has its own place. Do you know what I mean? It has its own place. But there's no fucking content to it, dude. There's no real like penmanship to any of what they're writing. They're just fucking saying shit that sounds cool with a fucking beat that sounds cool.
Right.
But they could be literally talking about anything as long as they make the cadence sound cool.
Yes.
They like, I've heard fucking songs where they're saying the same fucking words 6-7 times in a row to make everything rap to it. You know what I mean? To make everything rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
To where it comes back around, but they're using the same fucking word. Just to say it's Cage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
They should really go listen to MF Doom. Oh, rest in peace, goddamn. I'm still sad about MF Doom. I'm getting a tattoo.
You know what? I didn't realize he was kind of a fat dude.
A little, yeah.
A little bit. I was like, oh, look, MF Doom's kind of a big dude.
Well, I mean, one of his best records is called Food.
I know. I actually listened to that album like last week.
That album is everything that dude. He's been a top five rapper of mine all the, like, we weren't podcasting and shit like when it was announced that he passed away. I went through a rough one, Grant. Like, I went through that bad. That fucked me up.
Yeah.
Losing MF Doom fucked me up because when I spent like 10 years of my life like learning the craft of hip hop cadences.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't become a hip hop head until my entire 20s was nothing but being a hip hop head. Like, I went from like, yeah, I like metal and this and that to like just being heavily fucking focused on the art of writing. Me and Chris Link went to town on figuring out how to be good rappers and who the best was. And MF Doom was a fucking constant. Like, I would study that dude. I studied that dude to the point where I gave up. Because I was just like, his brain doesn't, I can't get my brain to work like this dude's brain.
Living off borrowed time, the clock tick faster. That'll be the hour they knock the slick blaster. Dick Dastardly and Muttley with sick laughter. A gunfight and they come to cut the mix master. ICE Cole, nice to be old. Y2G Steve twice to threefold. He sold scrolls, lo and behold. Know who's the illest ever, like the greatest story told. Keep your glory, gold and glitter. For half of his niggas to take him out the picture. The other half is rich and it don't mean shit to. Villain, a mixture between both with a twist of liquor. Chasing with more beer, tasting like truth or dare. When he at the mic, it's like the place get like, oh yeah. It's like they know what's about to happen. Just keep your eye out like I captain.
MF Doom, it's one of my top five forever. And he fucking died, and it sucks.
Yeah, it does.
And I fucking love that dude. I want everybody, when we're talking about lyricals,
I wish I like got into him more before he died, because I didn't. I've heard MF Doom. Yeah. I've listened to MF Doom songs and shit. But I never fucking did a deep dive on that dude, you know what I mean?
Oh.
And after he died, I started listening to his shit. And I'm like, man, I was, like, I fucking missed out.
Oh, my God. The Mad Villainy record, just the instrumentals to that, the guy, because usually Doom would do his own beats and shit, but the instrumentals on the Mad Villainy, like, just absolute fucking listen to a fucking Figaro, shit like that. But I was going to say, the fast rap stuff, you know what I like in the fast rap stuff, too, is, like, Yngwie Malmsteen to metal.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You hear it and you go, I know that's amazing what I'm hearing, but like, I don't give a fuck.
I don't want to hang out with that.
That's what I feel like when I hear Eminem now being like, oh, I'm like, yes, that's very talented what you're doing.
Yeah.
very skill set. And I'm sure you're like, you somehow made pepperoni a pun that I'm like, oh, that's very clever. What a clever little witty, the way he said Roni pepper, you know, something. But
well, if you're at, look, like if you're at a party and you're just trying to have a good time, or if you're just trying to chill out with some music and have a good time, you're not going to like sing along to that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It would it would take you a week of reading lyrics along with what he's saying in order to get like a verse of four down.
Yeah,
right?
You got to take it back to like My Name Is Bro to make it a catchy banger. Like
that's a job, dude. Like you're making people take on a job to follow your fucking music and shit. Now, like hardcore hip hop heads and rappers that are into that shit, they love it. That's their thing. They love it. They'll eat that shit right up. Mm-hmm. But like normal people who just want to fucking hang out with the music, it's hard for them to do that if they don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people like to relate to music. That's the whole reason people listen to it, is to feel some kind of way about your day or your life or whatever. It's the only reason music exists. It doesn't exist for any other reason. It's not there to keep you company in an elevator. You know what I mean? Like, it was made to get shit off your chest. It was made to express who you are as an individual and what the fuck is in your brain. So, same as people who can't create shit because they just don't have the ability or know how to, they can relate to what you've created because it's a thing. They can understand what you're going through.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nobody's understanding Rap God.
Nobody. No, we get it. You rap fast. And he's like, here's another one where I rap fast.
A Godzilla track was fucking...
Godzilla was killing... I'll tell you what, that beat... R.I.P. Juice WRLD too, right?
Juice WRLD was such a fucking talent.
That kid was solid gold. If anybody wants to hear a new kid, by the way, like, or he's not really new. He's been around for a couple years, but he's a kid. He's a fucking kid. Listen to Corday, Cordae. Go listen. Go watch some YouTube. Get back at me. Hit me up. Text me. I'll give you my number. Hit me up and tell me what you think of that. I'm just putting that one out there. I like rap. I like rap music. I feel like I listen to rap more than I listen to metal by far.
I was a little disappointed that I'd never heard Prof, right? Like, and you're like, what? Listen to Prof Old Side. I'm like, how do I not know who the fuck this dude is?
Dude,
first off,
we have like a million autographed albums in my house from Prof.
And that's fucking crazy to me. I've never fucking heard this dude until like fucking 4 months ago.
Dude, fucking Prof. Yeah. I have a Prof sticker on this thing. Yeah.
That dude can write.
So they got it, some real tits, real shit. Whole squad gotta feel this. So they got this light work, back and forth through the night to the Viper. I'm that shit, you are gonna need a diaper. When it come to getting pussy, I'm a lifer. When you thought I couldn't get nicer, your boy step in the ring like Tiger. And you wonder how good my mood is. Walk around the hood, all I get this deuces. Bitch, me, you ain't know the food this. Getting eight shades all through the movies. Yeah. Motherfucker, I'm gooder. Would you like some popcorn along with that butter? I would like a sister along with that mother.
What's up, motherfucker? Like, what up?
Because it's not just like lyrical content or anything. Like you want to talk about cadences and like fucking structuring songs and shit. Like, dude, that kid can fucking write.
That dude is amazing. He's a Minnesota rapper, dude. Fucking one of the best fucking cats out there in the game today. Like, absolutely. Like, I put him up there. I mean, he's not like. There's nothing bad to say about him. I love Prof.
No, there's nothing bad to say about him, man. I've listened to
his new album, Powder Horde and Sweets, is fucking dope.
I've listened to his entire catalog like over and over and over now. Do you know what I mean?
He just put out 500 copies of his first album again.
I seen that.
Jessica bought it.
Oh, did she get one?
She went and got it. Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah,
she went and got it, and he sent her like a million stickers. I got a bunch of his stickers, but like, yeah, we have like. Because Evan, for Christmas, I got him the new album on vinyl because he collects vinyl, and it's autographed. And then I got Jesse a CD autographed, and then he wrote a fucking letter to her thanking her for being, like, true and shit. And then she went and bought a... So we have three albums autographed by Prof in my house. Yeah, when you put that up, I was like, dude, I play him on the show. Like, I put him in, like, I do the little bumpers and stuff. I'll put the bumpers in there. We're gonna go. You know what? I think this is an episode. You want to do this again next week or some shit or something? We'll shoot for it. Okay.
Yeah. Like I wanted to do it last Saturday, and I just fucking I felt like garbage, dude, from moving Joey from the prior Saturday before. Like my back was fucked.
You know how sometimes I say like I love it when I got that text. I was like, thank God, because I closed the night. I did a double double the day before. Felt like total dog shit. So I was like, okay, this works out great. Yeah, I can get an hour's sleep.
I couldn't even breathe like without fucking hurting and shit. So.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get back to it.
All right, we'll get back to it. You know what? I'm going to end this off with Feds. This is Trash Class. They're playing June 4th at Annabelle's. I love this song. Played it before. Who gives a shit? It's been forever. This is Trash Class by Fredericks of Hollywood. Come see them with Ringworm, Wall Creeper, Punching Moses at Annabelle's. Grant and I will be there. I get to meet Daily Davis. Everything is going to be beautiful. I'm going to be there with my homies. Next time, we got to talk about me going up to Psychopathic Records. Talked about that.
Yes.
Insane Clown Posse, I got to fucking
Your
be
Mecca.
Like 10 feet away from Violent J for an entire evening. We made faces to each other. My dude was on a game show. Go check out the Nedden game on YouTube. He's from Akron, Ohio. You'll see it. All right, my name's Eagle.
I'm Rubber City Redbeard.
We'll talk to you soon. Love you.
See you, Feds.